let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
We are continuing in a series where we're talking about awakening. And we're talking about how in this new year, there are some things we've got to wake up to. We need to know the times and seasons that we're living in. We need to know that we are in the last days and that we don't have much time left. And we need to wake up, get up, show up, be present in our own life, in our own experience, and realize what time we're living in. I don't know about you, but the recent terror attacks that happened this week are even more signifying of the times that we live in.
That's right.
And we need to pray for the people of Paris this morning.
Amen.
And we need to pray for them. And we need to pray for our country and their country and our world. Because we are in some dark days and there are darker times to come. If you read through Revelation, you will see that we're going in that direction till Jesus comes. But we don't have to be dismayed this morning. We don't have to be in despair. Why? Because Jesus said that problems were going to come, temptations were going to come, troubles were going to come, that mothers would be against sons and daughters, and the children would rise up against the parents, and wars and rumors of wars, and nation against nation, and people against people. And we see it in our times today more than we've ever seen before. But then Jesus said something very important. He said, "See that you be not troubled." Be aware, but don't let it wear you down. Be aware, but don't be worn out by it. Why? Because Jesus said, these are the signs of the time showing that I am coming soon. And this is the time for the body of Christ to be even more excited than we've ever been before.
Amen.
You mean be excited about what we're seeing? Jesus is soon to return. Jesus is soon to return.
That's right.
So don't be troubled, like my dad used to say, don't be troubled by the trouble that you're seeing.
That's good.
Be not afraid. Let it be a sign to you and I to get cleaned up more than ever, to come in line with God's word more than ever, to wake up as we never have before, and to realize that the last great shaking of the earth is happening now. And you have a part to play in it. I have a part to play in it. Jesus is coming soon. It's time to wake up and be the watchman on the wall. Watchmen are good for nothing if they're not watching. You know, when you were a little kid and you wanted to do something all sneaky, don't tell me you never did anything sneaky now. We'll have an altar call right now. But when you wanted to do something sneaky, you got your friend to go look out for you. You go over there in the corner and watch. And you tell me when you see that they're coming. Let me know so we don't get caught. Because if we get caught, you're going down with me. And so you had a lookout. You had a watchman that was around the corner waiting to show you or tell you if something was coming. The watchmen have been asleep. The body of Christ is the watchman on the wall that look through the Bible and see the times that we're living in, that read through Revelation and know the hour that we are living in today. And the church has been asleep, and we've been so insulated in our country that we don't see what's happening in the Middle East and in Asia and in Europe and around the world and in Israel. If you want to know what's going down in the world, watch Israel.
Israel. Pray for Israel.
We are to pray for them. But the watchman, the body of Christ, the one with all this information, the one with the answer, the one with peace that passes all understanding in troubled times, the one that has the key to everything, has been asleep. We've been living on autopilot. We've been going through the motions of life. We've been letting life happen to us instead of us happening to life. It's time to wake up. Does this describe you? I read these quotes this week, and I was just like, man, this describes a lot of people today. Sometimes I can feel my bones straining under the weight of all the lives I'm not living. Have you ever felt such in despair that you've missed your purpose, that you've missed the one thing that you're supposed to do in this life?
Sure, yeah.
Or maybe you feel so confused that you don't know what that is, and so you just have this burden of not knowing why you are here. I'm tired. I'm distracted. I'm disappointed in myself. I feel slightly used and more than slightly used up. I'm a little overwhelmed and a lot worn down. This happens to us when we allow life to overwhelm us. When we schedule, and we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, so I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but when we schedule ourselves to the point that we have no room for move, no room for error, then we get so overwhelmed with life and so beat down by the junk that happens that we have no room for the things of God. And when people say, just read your Bible and pray, and we think, I just don't have time to read my Bible. When am I going to find that time? I barely sleep as it is. I go to work, I come home, I have to clean, I have to take care of the kids, I have to make sure they get to soccer, I have to make sure they get to basketball, to make sure that they get to dance. Then I have to make sure that my husband or my wife is happy, and then I have to watch my favorite show, and then I have to catch up on my DVR, and then I have to do extra work for work, and I'm working and working and working because I got all this debt, all this mess going on in my life, and you just don't understand, I just don't have time to read Bible. We're going to talk about how to dig ourselves out of that lifestyle. Because in this new year, God has called us to wake up. He's called us to get up. He's called us to be present in our life. He's called us to look around and not just look at what's in front of us, but get His view, His plan for our life, His vision, so that we can see the end from the beginning. We may not have all the pieces connected, but we know where we're going, and we're running our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's time that we climb out of that overwhelmed lifestyle and awaken to the things of God, to realize the time that we're living in.
Amen.
And quit living a reactive life and start living a proactive life. Many times we just react to the things that happen. We don't do anything different. We just live life reacting to everything that happens around us. You bump into me, I adjust. This happens to me, I adjust. This and that happens, and I see it, and I take it in, and offense comes, and I hang on to it, and you know, we just start living reactive. But God has called us to a different lifestyle. The kingdom of heaven is a different mentality than the world system. The world system says, when you're handed lemons, make lemonade. God's system says, to be proactive, to be ready, to be happening to life instead of just waiting for somebody to hand you some lemons. Go get some oranges if you want them. You know? We don't just sit and wait for life to happen. We pray, find out what God wants us to do, and then we happen to our life. If we continue to live on autopilot, you'll always be handed lemons. Because something will always happen. But when you're living a proactive lifestyle, when things do happen, when bad situations come, you have an answer and you speak the word instead of reacting in our flesh. That's what we've got to do. When the mess of life happens, we've got to speak the word of God and be obedient to the word of God instead of just trying to make up lemonade any old way we can work it. Quit making lemonade and start making the word of God. When life happens to us. When you get lemons, see what the Bible says about your lemons. Don't just start making up your own version of lemonade. Get God's version, His view, His plan for your life. and quit living reactive and start living proactive. It's time to wake up, get up, show up, and be present in our life. And today, we're going to continue in that theme, and we're going to talk about waking up to the passion and being passionate about life, igniting passion in our life. Ephesians 5, 14 through 16, kind of our theme for this series. Therefore, he says, God says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine and make dawn upon you and give you light. So God wants us to wake up. He's saying, church, bride of Christ, wake up.
Amen.
Do you not know the hour in which you live in?
Right on.
I believe it's Romans that says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's time to put off the works of darkness and put on the light of the Lord. Look carefully how you walk. Don't just walk any old way. Have you ever noticed when somebody's watching you walk? You kind of, you know, you'll be walking like this, just going, you know, through Walmart, getting your peas and carrots or whatever it is. Yesterday, they were all buying milk and bread. I hope they got something to do with it now that we didn't get the snowpocalypse. But you're just walking through Walmart, but then you see somebody that you know, or you notice that somebody's watching you, and you go like this, and you start walking a little up, and you got a little smile on your face, and all of a sudden, things are better, and you're just happy, and I mean, 1 minute ago, you were like this, oh, I'm trudging through Walmart. The next minute, you're like, when you watch how you walk different. You don't just shuffle. God has not called us to shuffle through life. He says, walk, watch how you walk and live purposefully. Don't just shuffle. Don't just go on autopilot. Live purposefully, worthily, accurately, lining up our life with the Word of God. When we're living accurately, we're bringing our life in line to the Word of God. Like I said last week, many times we try to line God up to us, and that's not the deal, Pickle. God says, you line up your life to my Word. I'm not going to come up and line my life to your Word, because I change not. You line up to my Word. So walk accurately. Not as the unwise or witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Making the very most of your time. Buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. God wants us to make the most of our time. And only a life lived with passion is truly making the most of your time.
Wow.
What do I mean by that? When we live a life of passion, first of all, it's a life in obedience to God. It's an excited life. It's an expectant life where we're expecting. I got friends having all kinds of kids all over the place, all over the country. There are kids happening everywhere. And these mothers that are expecting, we got one happening here. Yay! And these mothers that are expecting, they're making preparations. They're getting ready. They're planning. They're living purposefully. They're not just saying, well, yeah, the baby's coming. I'm just going to sit back and wait on it. Do nothing. I'm just going to sit here for 9 months and do nothing. No. They're spending hours upon hours digging through name books, picking out names. They're thinking about taking them to their first ballet recital or dedication at the church. And they're thinking about what kind of carrier they want and how they're going to wrap them. And they're learning how to change the diapers. And they're getting prepared. They're getting all the bottles ready. They're putting cribs together. They're picking out the bedding. They're planning. They're making space in their life for the baby to come. When we live a life with passion, we live with expectancy, making space for God to move. Making space in our life for God to show up. We live with expectancy that we are going to live a life in obedience to the Word of God, and therefore God is going to lead God and direct us and show up in our life. A life with passion is a happy life. Remember, to rejoice is a choice. We don't always have happy circumstances, let me tell you.
That's right.
If you got some time and a bag of Cheetos or some coffee with some heavy cream, I could sit down and tell you. Or nachos. If you get me nachos, I'll sit down and talk to you for a while. It's my favorite. But I could sit down and tell you about some unhappy circumstances. We don't always have happy circumstances. But even when unhappy happens, we have a choice. We can either just hang on to depression and say, poor, pitiful me. Whenever I used to kind of get all pouty, my mom would sing me this song. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm just going to eat worms. Quit being wormy. You know, when bad stuff happens, we have a choice. And just because we come to Jesus doesn't mean there aren't going to be trials. Jesus laid out clearly that we would have trials and temptations. Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. Jesus himself went through some stuff. But our reaction is different. So a passionate life is a happy life because we choose it to be so. Not because circumstances dictate it. We need to quit letting circumstances dictate our emotions.
Right.
I'm preaching to me too. Because when we let circumstances dictate our emotions, we live on a roller coaster that's a wild ride that's really hard to get off of. And then our life is determined by what happens. Again, we're living reactive. Whatever happens to me depends on which way I go and how I turn and what I say and what I do is based on what others do to me. You hear it on the school playground. Well, she came up and pushed me, and that's why I slapped her on the ground and beat her up. And what do we tell the kids? Just because somebody pushes you doesn't mean that you have a right to throw them on the ground and beat the snot out of them. What, y'all would say that? I guess that's just me. But we say that to our kids all the time, but we have a hard time walking it out ourselves as adults. And we preach it to them. Don't live a reactive life. Make your own choices. Choose to be happy no matter what happens. And then when stuff happens, well, I just don't think I can go on anymore. A happy life doesn't mean that there aren't unhappy things that happen. It means that our reaction is not of this world. Because the natural reaction when stuff happens is to go off, to get upset, to get emotional, to jump through hoops, to try to fix it as soon as possible, and try to please everybody else and do what they want us to do, and conform to whatever happens to kind of make it all go away. And to blow up with the situation. That's the world's reaction. But God has not called us to that lifestyle. He's called us to be different. He's called us to live a life full of joy. And there is joy in troubling times. Jesus said, when you see all those signs, when you see the book of Revelation unfolding before your eyes, see that you not be afraid. Don't be troubled by the circumstance. Why? Because God is with us. If we are a child of God, if we are living by His Word, God is with us. Romans 12:11 says, never lag in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. So a life with passion is a life full of zeal and earnest endeavor. It's where we are awake, we're present, we're alert to what's going on, and we're excited and anticipating the things of God. What would happen if tomorrow you took a day and made a choice to be happy no matter what happens? To rejoice in all things. Just try it for a day. I guarantee you're going to have some stuff come up and some opportunities to rejoice. But just give it a shot. See how it changes you. Because it will. When things happen and you don't have that natural world reaction, and you allow your life to be taken by the kingdom of God and His way and His will of doing things, it will change your life. It will change your lifestyle. Lord, we pray right now that you would be with them as they're on their way to the hospital. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus. It will change your lifestyle. You'll find that you have more energy. If you're down in the mully grubs all the time and down in the dumps, your energy goes down with it. But if you are excited and anticipating and looking forward to something, your friend's coming to visit. You haven't seen them in a long time. You get in your house clean. You're excited. And you might be dog exhausted by the time that doorbell rings. But when that doorbell rings, it's full on, "Hey, I'm so excited to see you!" I remember when my friend Marie came to spend a week with me before our wedding a year ago. Goodness, we were going through some stuff trying to get wedding preparations done, trying to get everything done, and I was so tired. And when Marie showed up, I was like, "Ah, it's so good to see you!" My energy level went up. My expectation went up. My excitement went up. It didn't matter what I was feeling. I wasn't going by what I was feeling. I was anticipating her arrival. I was excited about it. And I changed my body. I changed my reaction because I was expecting her. When we follow the things of God, when we're expectant about the things of God, it doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter how tired we are. We find the energy. Our body rises to the occasion, and our outlook changes. Never lack in zeal and earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. God has not called us to be indifferent. Revelations 3:15-16 says, "I know your record of works." So God's talking to the churches here. "I know your record of works and what you're doing. You're not cold and you're not hot. I wish you were cold or hot." God Himself is saying, "I wish you were cold or hot." Don't be in that mushy middle. "So because you're lukewarm and you're not cold or hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth." That comes back to what we've been talking about not living out of obligation, about being intentional in everything, about getting back to the fundamentals of the things of God and living them out on purpose. Not just doing things because that's the way they've always been done. I just come to church because that's just what you're supposed to do. I'm just here. Well, yeah, we should come to church. But when we come to church, our attitude should be, "I'm so excited that I get to worship God today. I get to join in with a community of believers. I get to see my church family. I get to encourage them. I get to build them up, and I get to be built up myself."
Yes, thank you.
That's a totally different mindset with totally different results. Somebody that's drugged to church, when they walk in, they're bulled up. "I'm going to be here. I'm just here because they're making me. Oh, this beer. I need some cat food." And they're not paying attention. They're not getting anything out of it. The person that feels obligated to come, "Well, I've got to go to church this morning. Just got to show up and you got to get dressed. They have a totally different set of results. But the person that wakes up and says, I get the opportunity to go worship God this morning. I get the opportunity to be built up by other believers. I get the opportunity to go today and encourage everybody around me. That's the type of person we need to be. Not doing things out of obligation, but doing things because we want to worship our King. We want to live for Him. We want to make Him look good. We want and we desire with everything within us to be obedient to His Word. We want to grow in God. It's not something that we feel obligated to do. It's something we desire to do above anything else. That's a life with passion. That's a life with purpose. That's a life that's living to make God look good. When we just live out of obligation, that doesn't make God look good. We're just going through the motions. We're not doing anything productive. We're being lukewarm. And what did God say about lukewarm? He said, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Those are some harsh words. I encourage you to live a passionate life, not a life out of obligation, because if you do things out of obligation, that's dead works and it's in vain. But an intentional, on-purpose life. Next time you come to church, I just encourage you to wake up and be excited about it. To put a smile on your face, to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I get the opportunity to worship God this morning. I get the opportunity to encourage other believers this morning. I get the opportunity to learn more about Jesus. Because you know that there are some countries where people cannot worship freely and openly like we do. A few weeks ago, or a week or so ago, in North Korea, like I mentioned last week, I think it was like 8 people, I'm not sure of the number, were killed just for simply having a Bible. Most of us have Bibles on our cell phone. We need to wake up and live life on purpose. Quit being lukewarm. Quit riding the barbed wire fence because that's only going to get you hurt. And be passionate, on fire, ablaze, not lagging in zeal. Being aglow with the Spirit. Don't be blah when it comes to the life of a Christian. Be excited and anticipating. It will completely change your life. It will completely change every single aspect of your life. I dare you to try. I double dog dare you to try. Now you got to do it. It's set. When we have no passion, no zeal, or no excitement about the things of God, neither will anybody else. What's the first thing they teach you about leadership? One of the first things. If you're not excited about what you're doing, the people under you aren't going to be either. You can't lead anybody being moody. If you are fully in what you're doing, and you're all in, you got all your chips on the table. If you're not living that kind of life when it comes to leadership, nobody's going to follow you. And if we aren't living that life as believers, where we're all in, we're fully committed, we're passionate about the things of God, then no unbeliever is going to be excited about it either. Because they're going to say, well, I said crazy people that go up there and go sit for a couple hours every Sunday and then go home and do whatever they want. The only way that we will lead others to Jesus is if we're all in ourselves. If we're fully persuaded. We got to get like Paul, we got to get fully persuaded. And not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What are we aglow with? What are we? Are we? we aglow with the joy of the Lord, or are we burning with anger? An anger-filled life is not a passionate life. And it's so easy to blow up sometimes. Stuff happens and you're just a simmering pot waiting to boil over. We got to turn it down a notch and not be burning with anger, but be burning with the joy of the Lord. Ephesians 4:26, when angry, don't sin. Never let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or your indignation last until the sun goes down. You know, that's great for marriage, but it's also great for everybody else too. It doesn't do any good if you're married to go to bed angry. It just makes it worse. And when you're dealing with other people and you're dealing with the things that happen in life, don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You might feel the emotion of anger, but you don't have to react to it. Just because something happens doesn't mean you have to react. Remember, we're not living a reactive life. We're living an on-purpose, proactive life. And so when we feel anger happening, that's not a passionate life. That's not the life that God wants for us. We need to learn to identify and dial it back to where we don't come into sin. If you can't do what you're doing in life with genuine love for God and genuine love for others, don't do it. Because living out of obligation is a vain thing. And it'll just make you mad and upset. You've got to live a life of love and joy and peace and goodness and long-suffering. Long-suffering. What does that mean? Suffering long. Kindness, meekness, temperance. On and on. The fruits of the Spirit. That's the kind of life that God has called us to. God's called us to seize the day. To wake up. To take charge of our life. Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until this present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. And violent men seize it by force as a precious prize and share in the heavenly kingdom is sought for with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. So God wants us to go after kingdom things with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. God wants us to go after kingdom things with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. We've got to realize the time that we're living in. We must speak up for righteousness. We must realize that we are God's hands, His feet here on earth, and it is our job to fall in line with His plan, His will, and live it out. That's a life of passion, living out God's plan for your life. Passion in the following areas will result in you and I becoming a powerful force for the Lord that He can use. But it all hinges on our obedience to His word. We've got to be passionate about our words. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we've got to be intentional about the words that we speak. We can kill situations, we can kill people, we can kill circumstances with our mouth. The tongue is the most destructive or building up thing in your body. Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. And you're going to eat the fruit of it. If you speak death, if you speak destruction, you'll have those results. What is David writing here? Let the words of my mouth, what I say, the meditation of my heart, the things that I think on constantly, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So whatever we say, whatever we constantly think on, it should be things that are acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And if God doesn't find it acceptable, then neither should we. And we should quit saying it and quit thinking it.
That's good.
But stuff just comes out of me. Well, there's a term in computers called GIGO. And what it stands for is garbage in, garbage out. If all you do is put junk in your life, then when you're pressed and you're crushed and persecuted and stuff happens, all that's going to shoot out is garbage. If we don't put the Word of God in us, when things happen, the Word of God won't come out of us. That's why it's so important that we get God's Word on the inside of us, that we meditate on it day and night. Like Psalm 1 says, so we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. And the Bible talks about that tree is not withering, and whatsoever it does shall prosper. But then it goes on to say, the ungodly are not so. And if all we feed ourselves is garbage, gossip, junk, mess of the day, negative, depressive thoughts, if that's all that we feed ourselves, then when stuff happens, that's all that we're going to spew out. If we only put garbage in, you can only get garbage out. Have you ever heard the old saying, you get what you put into it? That's the truth. The reason that we have so many problems when bad things happen, it's not the thing that happens itself. It's all the junk that we fed ourselves that comes spewing out. That's the problem. When things happen, we can deal with those. We can manage with those. But it's because we've only fed ourselves junk that all we have to pull from when mess happens is junk. We need to watch our words. We need to watch what we meditate and think on. Because what we put into us is exactly what will come out of us when we're pressed and crushed and persecuted and we feel the pain. We need to hide God's word in our heart so that we do not sin. We need to daily dig into the word of God and follow that word so that when the stuff of life happens, it doesn't set us off course. Because a child of God that has the Word of God on the inside of them, that knows the commands of God, that follows God's plan for their life, when junk happens, yeah, we feel what we feel. Because emotions are going to happen. But we do not have to be led by emotions. They can come at us like a wave. You can either drown in a wave or you can ride a wave. And it's the same with our emotions. We can either drown in our emotions or we can float through them on the Word of God and not be moved. Psalm 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep a watch at the door of my lips. Sometimes we got to get that strong with it. I got a watch guard right at my lips, and before my lips move, it checks in with the Holy Spirit. Is this something that the Holy Spirit would have me say right now? And if it's not something that the Holy Spirit would have me say, just keep it zipped. What'd your mama always tell you? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't be saying nothing at all. Now that's not in the Bible. Not a revelation from God. But what is in the Bible is that we need to guard our mouth. It's the same principle, it's just the mama translation. Keep a watch at the door of my lips. You can't have a passionate life always talking down about everything. You can't have a fulfilled life in Christ always talking down about everything. Because what we talk about, what we surround ourselves with, is what we will eventually become. And if we surround ourselves with the filth of the world, then we're going to get dirty. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the uncompromisingly righteous man is a well of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. I don't know about you, but I want to be uncompromisingly righteous. I want my mouth to be a well of life, not a well of death.
Amen.
And I think down deep in your heart, you want those things as well. But we've got to move from where we're at and allow God to wash us with the water of the Word. Allow the Word to change us. Allow the Word to purify us. Allow His Word to... allow ourselves to come in line with that word. Ephesians 4:29. Let no foul, no polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. That's difficult sometimes. Not to speak worthless talk. To make sure that what we speak is not unwholesome. But God has called us to His way. He said, only let such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. So there's the standard for what we speak out. Is it good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others? Is it encouraging? Is it uplifting? Does it bring people in line with God's word? That's the standard for what we speak. We don't speak evil. We don't speak foul, polluting language. We don't speak unwholesome, worthless talk. We speak talk that brings about the fruit of the Spirit. God wants us to be passionate about our worship. And we spent a whole week on that a few weeks ago. But I just want to remind you, Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear and revere and worship Him. And He will show him His covenant and reveal to him its deep inner meaning. God wants us to be passionate about worship. God wants us to be expectant and excited about worship. When we come into the house of God, we should be ready to worship. We should be ready to pour our praise on Him. When we go throughout our life and get in the car, why not put on some worship music and just take a few minutes to worship God? Now, don't close your eyes while you're driving. But just take some time to worship Him in your everyday life and be passionate and purposeful about it. Psalm 29:2. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness and in His holy array. So God is concerned about us being passionate about worship. We are to also be passionate about warfare. And we'll talk about this more when we talk about not taking offense. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, If we walk and live by the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. So though we're fleshly beings, we don't carry on our warfare according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive to the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Look at that last verse, verse 5. We are to refute arguments and theories and pride and anything that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. That could even be religious tradition in the church that we've gotten so accustomed to that wasn't even of God to begin with. Anything that butts itself up to the true knowledge of God, we are to refute, we are to cast out, we are to lead away into captivity into the obedience of Christ. So God is wanting us to walk in obedience to Him, and we can't if we're putting things up equal with Him or against Him. We've got to get rid of the junk. Realize that our warfare is not with flesh and blood. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and master spirits who are rulers of this present darkness, against spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Your fight isn't with your neighbor. Your fight is not with your coworker. Your fight is not with your husband or wife. Your fight is not with your kids. They're not with your mom and dad. Your fight is not with people on this earth. Yeah, but they hurt me. But okay. You know, we can't live life dragging around everything that ever happened to us like a badge of honor. We gotta let it go. You're not wrestling with people. Our fight is with our flesh and our will, our way, our emotions, and with the devil. And the devil's already been defeated. So if we can get ourselves under control, we got this thing. Verse 13. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the cross's demands, stand firmly in your place. So we've got to be prepared for the war that's coming. And it's mainly going to be with ourselves. Yes, the devil attacks, but remember, it's not what happens, it's what we do about what happens. Having done all the Christ's demands, stand firmly in your place. A life of passion is standing in the exact spot that God has called you to and not moving unless He says move. Being firmly in your place. Dad taught a series one time, taking your place and releasing your faith. We've got to take our place in the body of Christ.
Right.
Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Be ready for the battle. And realize that our battle is not with people. We are not to fight people. We get too wrapped up in the circumstances of everyday life and we start fighting people. Stop it. Talking to me. Stop it. Quit fighting people. The only people that our fight with is this people. Yourself. Right. I don't mean y'all fight with me now. I don't know. Okay.
See.
Our fight, my fight, is with this person. Bringing this person in line with the Word of God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Your fight is with your person, bringing your person in line with the Word of God.
Amen.
And if everybody would do their own little fighting with their own little self, then we wouldn't have half the mess that we have today. The body of Christ wouldn't be known for its bickering and arguing and splitting here and splitting there. And, you know, we're multiplying, though, you know. My fight is with this person. Your fight is with your person. God wants us to have a passionate life, and we're not going to have a passionate life if we're constantly fighting with other people. Let it go. And we need to be passionate about winning that fight. Romans 8:37, amid all these things, we're more than conquerors and gain surpassing victory through him who loved us. If we're going to be more than conquerors, we got to conquer some stuff. And the stuff that we start conquering is the stuff that we look in the mirror at every morning. That's the stuff we start conquering. And bringing it in line to the Word of God. God has called us to be rejoiceful and passionate in joy. Psalm 9:14, that you may show forth and recount and tell aloud all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation and your saving help. Nehemiah 8:10, Ezra told them, go your way, eat the fat. That don't sound good. Drink the sweet milk. Send portions for those who nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Don't be grieved and depressed. For the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold. It's that song that we sang this morning that Eric started singing before church starts. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 That's why the devil comes to attack your joy and to get you upset and to get you stressed and to get you beside yourself, because our strength and our stronghold that comes from God is our joy. And if we're not living at peace, if we're not living an expectant, passionate life in Christ, then we will be ripped of our strength. And we will be down, and we will be upset, and we will be living on the emotions of life, and we will live reactive instead of proactive. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy their life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. God wants you to be excited. He wants you to be passionate. He wants you to enjoy your life. Yes, stuff is going to happen. But we don't have to be moved and set back by the stuff. We can bring our life in line with the Word of God, lining up with His vision and hit an expectancy from Him and live that passionate life. You know, I challenge you. You're going to leave a message like today. You're going to walk out of here, and hopefully I've done my part, and you feel fired up, and you feel all epic, and you're talking about living a powerfully effective life and igniting God's passion in your life. And inside your head, the crowd roars and cheers, go, 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 you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, Hercules. And the world is waiting for your brand of awesomeness to fulfill your calling, to go tell the world about Jesus, and inside you're having this conversation in your head, yes, I'm going to be more passionate. Yes, I'm going to be excited. Yes, I'm going to live with joy. I'm not going to live with grief. I'm not going to live depressed. I'm going to break free from all that junk and line up my life with the Word of God and be obedient to His commands. And then you're going to open the door of your house and you're going to see dog poop. And you're going to be like, well, that lasted 2 seconds. What do I mean by that? Don't let the everydayness of life get you distracted from living an obedient, passionate, God-filled life. Don't don't let the mess of everyday life, the junk of everyday life, get you distracted from living an obedient, passionate, God-filled life. Let's stand. God, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.